Alex Anthopoulos joins the Jeff Blair Show. Alex, thanks a lot for doing this in the holiday season. You surprised at all that that Melky ended up getting what he got? That doesn't seem to me to be an outrageous amount for a guy like Melky Cabrera.
You know, I had read that he had a 4-year deal as well, but he preferred to go to the White Sox, which I'm not surprised. They made a lot of moves this offseason, and you know, just over the years, and whether it's talking to free agent players or just players around the league, I know Chicago is a very desirable place to play. It's a great city from an offensive standpoint. It's a great ballpark, and then you look at what they added. It doesn't surprise me that he turned down a 4-year deal somewhere else to sign a 3-year deal with them. And frankly, I think once Nelson Cruz signed his deal, I really felt that Melky would slot in below him. You know, where ultimately, who knows? And again, if it's true that he did have that 4-year deal, who knows what the total dollars were for? But it made sense to me. They both had a qualifying offer attached. They both had the PED suspensions in their past. But Cruz was a power bat, 40 home run hitter, the only one in the league. Cabrera wasn't necessarily the exact same type of player, and power normally does get paid a little bit more. And I'm not completely surprised. If it was going to be a 3-year deal, that AAV made sense.
Did you guys offer him four? Were you the team?
So we once we signed Saunders, we didn't engage anymore. Actually, before the Saunders trade was announced, I called his agent that morning. I think the trade got announced that night.
Right.
But we had just finalized the deal the night before, and the Mariners had the Kyle Seager press conference. So, you know, from a timing standpoint, they didn't want to take away from Seager's event, and obviously it was a big announcement for their organization. So we both agreed to wait till later in the evening to announce the deal. But I did call his agent that morning to let him know that we had made a deal for an outfielder, and that would pretty much take us out of any negotiations. And I wanted them to know first rather than hearing about it from somebody else or having seen it online.
So you never got to the point where even last year you talked to Melky about 4 years?
You know what? I wouldn't get into specifics. I can say that we definitely talked quite a bit. We had some discussions, very brief, in season. Now, discussions, what that means, offers, counters, things like that, I probably wouldn't want to get into that. But we did talk a little bit during the year prior to the All-Star break. And then, obviously, we spoke after the year as well. So I don't know that we were ever going to be close at the time of our discussions. And you know, I can't speak for Melky himself in terms of where he ended up with his contract and so on. But, you know, we had to make a decision at some point in the offseason that if we didn't think we were going to be competitive or had a good chance to get him, and Saunders was there, and we felt pretty confident that if we didn't get the Saunders deal done at that time, if the Mariners went to the winter meetings with Saunders, you may lose out on the player because there's just a lot more what I like to call it, interference that gets run once you get to the meetings at that point.
Alex, you know as well as I do, there are going to be people out there, there are going to be Jays fans out there who are disappointed that Melky isn't going to come back, and they're going to ask the question, again, from a fan's point of view and from a media point of view, that appears to be, quote-unquote, a workable number. That should be a workable number for this team. You know fans are going to sit there and say, why can't they come up with that extra $14 million a year to get this done? What would you say to them?
You know, and I understand it completely. And look, I think anybody that watched Melky last year, he was a great player, great teammate. From an offensive standpoint, he was exactly what we want: switch hit bad, we'll put the ball in play, all those kind of things. Look, we have we had and still have a lot of needs on this club. Our payroll is a very strong, healthy payroll. Again, though, we do have a limit of where we're prepared to go. And again, our payroll, certainly I expect it to be right in that top 10 range, or at least close to the top 10. And at some point, you have to make some decisions. So when we signed Martin and then being able to get Saunders and 2 years of control with Saunders and his arbitration salaries, to recover the draft pick from Melky as well that we lost with Martin, and also to have dollars to allocate in some other areas, you know, that's what made the most sense to us. But there's no doubt about it, Melky's a much more proven player. He was a great player and great bat for us. But we did have to make some decisions of where we were going to spend our money. And ultimately, with some of the other needs that we have, you know, we're not just going to keep spending, and we just can't. We're not going to be a payroll that's going to be where the Dodgers are or the Yankees are. We are going to be a strong payroll, but there is a limit as to how far we're willing to go.
Alex, you still have some work to do in the bullpen, obviously. A lot of relievers, free agent relievers, are off the board. Some of them the higher profile ones. Some of them guys who might have been longer shots, or guys you know, guys you may teams may want to take a chance on, for want of a better phrase. How are you going about addressing the bullpen vacancies? And does it look now to you as if it's you're going to have to make a trade to at least get that one power arm in the bullpen?
I think we're hopeful that we're going to acquire someone via trade. Certainly, we're currently trying to do that. We're not close, but we are in talks with some teams and trying to get some things done. So hopefully something will break for us and we'll be able to make a deal. And we definitely had some interest in some of the free agents that signed. We just weren't prepared to go to those financial terms that some of those, you know, some of those players got. So that isn't to say they're not worth those dollars, or the clubs that signed them didn't make good deals. But from our standpoint, it didn't fit for us. And there's still a lot of time left in the winter. But we don't want to force anything. We don't want to make a move that we don't believe in. I know a lot of that was going on last offseason. There was a lot of free agents that were still out there. And I think a lot of people wanted us to go out and sign certain players just for the sake of being active. But if you don't believe in the contract or the player that you're signing, it may look good in the winter. But once the season starts and the performance starts to show up, you may realize you've got yourself into a bad deal that's ultimately going to hurt you in the short and the long term.
Alex Anthopoulos joins the Jeff Blair Show. Are we getting to the point where we almost have to assume that Aaron Sanchez is going to be the closer for this team?
No, I don't think so. I think there's a scenario that does occur. A guy like Norris will still come in and compete for a starting spot. We're going to stretch Estrada out, see how he looks in spring training, and he had some good years with the Brewers in the rotation, and obviously not as strong last year. But we do view Aaron as a long-term starter, and I think a lot of that will be determined what we have on the ball club when we start spring training. So it's still too early. I mean, he's certainly not a lock for that five-hole. He's going to have to compete, but there are scenarios where you could see a Norris or even an Estrada take the fifth spot in the rotation. Aaron ends up in the bullpen. That could happen. But at the same time, we think Aaron's ceiling as a starter is so high that, you know, he's going to be given every opportunity to win that job.
Alex Anthopoulos joins the Jeff Blair Show. Brandon Morrow signed with the Padres. Did you have any discussions with him at all? Any thought of trying to bring him back? I know you're not a fan. I believe you're not a fan of incentive-laden deals. I don't know if you would do it in the case of a pitcher like Brandon, but was there any discussion bringing him back?
Yeah, we're not opposed to incentive deals. Ideally, we'd like to avoid them, strictly because I've seen it. Even when I was an AGM, there were times when players would come into the clubhouse, and whether they had an option that would vest or they had some incentive based on games played, at-bats, plate appearances, things like that, they weren't in the lineup. There was potential speculation that the front office was manipulating things. And I do know that does occur in the industry, and it's just human nature. So ideally, you want players coming into the clubhouse knowing that if they're in the lineup or not, or they do pitch, it's on merit and that there's no financial implications to that. But with respect to Brandon, our desire was to bring him back as someone that could throw out of the pen for us. He had a strong desire to start, and it seems like that's what he ultimately got from San Diego. And that we weren't going to lie to him and tell him that he was going to have that five spot locked up, and then ultimately pull the rug out from underneath him. So he was determined to get an opportunity to start again. And with the other options that we had, we just didn't have that. We didn't want to go down that path. And I certainly wish Brandon the best. And I think it's a great park for him and great opportunity for him.
Alex Anthopoulos joining the Jeff Blair Show. You have been linked, you being the Blue Jays, have been linked to a Japanese free agent shortstop at Takashi Toritani. I know you don't like talking about players you've been linked to, but In this case, we are talking about a veteran Japanese player. I'll ask you this, Alex. Is he the type of guy that would fit the Blue Jays this season?
Sure. Now, I think it's some of the stuff is so obvious. We've scouted him quite a bit. We have some scouts that like him. And he's someone that we've certainly talked about internally. Beyond that, I probably wouldn't get into anything else. But certainly a guy like that would fit. We do have an opening from an everyday second base job, and we are, we certainly haven't hidden the fact that we're open to try to bring in some guys either to compete or to give them that job, because we really don't have someone that we can anoint at this time, the everyday player there. So a guy like Torotani is definitely someone that we've talked about, we've scouted. Man, I probably can't go any further than that, but there's certainly truth to the fact that we've had talks.
Alex, a breaking story today, not just in the world of baseball, but the world in general. It looks like the U.S. and Cuba are going to take steps towards normalizing relations, opening an embassy. There's some talk about easing financial restrictions between the two countries. As a baseball executive, does that open the possibility even more, do you think, of Cuban players coming over to the major leagues? And would that be a positive for Major League Baseball?
I think there's no doubt if that was to be the case, it would. I mean, some of the best players in the league right now are coming over from Cuba, and it seems like the talent just continues to improve. The challenging part is being able to scout some of these players. You have to go see them in international tournaments. Even though as Canadians we're allowed to go over there, you still, from a league standpoint, we really can't go to Cuba and scout their players. So it's something that you need. They play all over the world, whether it's in Holland or whether it's in various countries in Asia. We'll try to see as many games as we can, but sometimes some of the top players do not travel for fear of that they might defect. So it is hard to see some of these players and to get an extended look. And anything that can improve that relationship and make things, easier from a club standpoint to evaluate the players and to have more of them come to our league, I think it'd be great for the game because we're just continuing to add talent.
Hey, Alex, I've got to ask you, there's been a lot of talk about the uncertainty surrounding Paul Beeston's position as president of this of the Blue Jays and of the Rogers Centre. Has that in any way impacted what you have been able to do this offseason? Has there been any sort of uncertainty in terms of decision-making or chain of command or anything of that nature?
No, not at all. I mean, obviously, when I landed in San Diego, stories broke and my phone was blowing up. But really, whether it's trade talks or free agency, there's been no change from our standpoint. But Paul's been involved in everything that we've done in the offseason. He's been able to give me the approval for all the transactions that we've made. And we've made some significant ones, whether it's the Martin signing, significant years and dollars, trading for a guy like Donaldson, that was a large deal, Saunders. We haven't been slowed up at all. And even we were talking to some free agents that signed during the meetings that we had approval to go quite a number of years and significant dollars, and I was able to get the sign off very fast. So from my standpoint, we haven't had any change at all. We continue to work to try to make the club better.
Alex, I appreciate you doing this. If we don't get to talk before Christmas, have a great Christmas, and we'll be talking again in the new year.
All right, Jeff, really enjoyed it.